As entrepreneurs, we see the world differently. In a world that not only tolerates but promotes mediocrity, we unreasonably demand more. Giving you access to the world's most successful entrepreneurs and thought leaders, this podcast uncovers the untold truths of what it really takes to build a multi-million dollar business while optimizing your personal performance in every area of your life. I'm Jack DeLosa. Let's get to work. Hello, team, and welcome to today's podcast. This is a very special and meaningful podcast for me. Many of you have heard me talk about personal development and expanding human potential and consciousness for many years now, and I often say that I import my wisdom from India. More specifically, I import it from a beautiful organization called O&O Academy, which is One World Academy and Oneness have merged into one. And they are, that organization is founded by a great man, a sage called Krishnaji. He's the founder of O&O, which is where I often go over to India to study. And so it is my absolute pleasure to be joined today by Krishnaji to talk about how you can become a conscious wealth creator. Krishnaji, thank you so much for taking the time to have this conversation with me and my audience.
Thank you so much for having me today, and it's a real pleasure and joy to be talking to you and to your audience.
Thank you very much. Krishnaji, what is a conscious wealth creator?
Well, we have to understand that creating wealth, we can use various resources that we think we actually I'll get back to it. Let's address creating wealth. Creating wealth all these years and for ages. So first of all, we are creating wealth from a place of ambition. We are creating wealth from a place of comparison, from a place of greed. We are creating wealth from a sense of deep lack of wanting to feel fulfilled, or wanting to feel superior or great. Now, we have gone to schools, we have gone to colleges, and we, of course, read a lot of books, and we go to a lot of programs to learn how to create wealth. And these are all strategies and plans that we're constantly learning, and skills that we're constantly learning to make ourselves better. To make ourselves better, not as a human being, but make ourselves better more in terms of strategies and planning, and making sure that we can defeat our competition and we can defeat our opponent in becoming more richer. So it's basically, wealth per se is basically coming from a state of comparison, and the way you compare yourself, not only from an internal state that I'm not feeling good enough, but also from, if you take it from the external world, you're constantly comparing your wealth to someone else's wealth. Now, for me, what is conscious creator? Conscious creator is about coming from a beautiful inner state. Now, for us to understand what is the beautiful inner state, we need to understand this very important teaching that as human beings, we only live in two states of being, and that there is no third state. We are either in a state of suffering, which is anxiety, comparison, fear, anger, jealousy, loneliness, or we are in a state of joy, love, peace, connection, passion, vision, contribution. So these are the only two states you relate to life from, whether it's your wife, whether it's your husband, whether it's creating wealth, or whether it's your business, anything. So the most important question that one needs to ask is, what is the state from which I want to create my wealth from? Do I want to create my wealth from a state of fulfillment, connection, or do I want to create my wealth from disconnection, anger, and fear? So when we go to many of these courses, or when we go to many of what we have learned earlier, we have learned that fear is very important to become wealthy. Anger is a strength to become wealthy. I strongly believe that these are not your strengths at all, because these are very, very weak internal states. These states, in fact, don't give you any energy, but in fact, completely destroy you internally and completely put you in a state of conflict, confusion, and you do not enjoy what you're creating. therefore you're not conscious about what you're not conscious about what you're creating, you're not even conscious about what you're doing with your life. You can only become conscious about what you're doing with your life, and you can only become conscious about every step you're taking in your life if you're living in a beautiful state. So the state that you come from to create wealth is very, very important. And that state has to be a state of deep sense of connection. Connection to yourself, connection to your family, connection to the members of your organization, and connection to every aspect of your life. So that is being a conscious creator. So conscious creator, about becoming conscious about the deep sense of connection. Right now, we are not conscious about that at all. We are in a state of disconnection, and that disconnection is arising because we are trying to pursue and achieve what we want to achieve from a very bad state, and that state is one that of disconnection.
Krishna,
if connection needs to happen, you need to have an awakening in your consciousness.
I'm very much looking forward to talking to you about awakening. Before we get to that, Krishnaji, you touched on how, and I think this is particularly true for people in the business world, where we actually view, before any sort of awakening, we actually view stress and angst and anger almost as a favorable fuel, because we kind of layer on these layers of drive and we think that's fueling us to get more done. One of the life-changing paradigm shifts I had when I was with you a couple of weeks, a few months back, was that that isn't the most powerful place to be coming from. It's actually disempowering. Can you talk to us a little bit more about the fuel that we use in pursuit of whatever it is we are creating?
Yes, it is understood that anger and fear are very great weapons to become successful, but it's very, very unfortunate that we have this understanding. It is in fact the weakest weapons to become successful. Let's just go with statistics, right? I was just listening to an article yesterday and I was shocked to know that 3.7 billion people on this planet earn less than $2 a day. That's a staggering figure. So if you're looking at anger and fear and greed as the fuel that you need to become successful, then obviously I'm sure these 3.6 billion people are definitely living a lot in that state, because they're earning less than $2. They're definitely angry with the governments, they're angry with society, they're angry with their families, they're angry with the education system they've been in, everything. I think everywhere they turn around there's only, but that's not giving them even $1 more. So we have to understand that. And we have to understand that those states are not going to help us at all. So even if you bring it up to people who are making much, much more money than $2, we can clearly still see that when they come back home, they're still angry. When they go to office, they're angry. There is a lot of anger and fear. For a person who has no money, there is fear of wanting to make money so that he or she can have the comforts of life. For the person who has money, there is this tremendous amount of fear of not losing it out, because then the comforts of life is gone. So we have to understand that in anger and fear, your state is constantly about losing. When you are successful, you're really not thinking about your vision, or really not thinking about what needs to be done, but you are more thinking about your self-image of what others should think about you, and you are constantly coming from that space. And today there's enough science to say that the more you're in anger and fear, you are actually not that intelligent, because your brain is actually shrinking. Your hippocampus is getting affected and shrinking, and that definitely is impacting your intelligence. So you are going to become less intelligent, and you are going to make some of the most important decisions not from the right state, which means they're going to be bad decisions, and you are going to see a collapse in your business organization. The reason we are using anger and fear as our stepping stone to success is because we have not learned to live in a beautiful state. We have not learned to live in a connected state. So for us to learn to live in a connected state, your consciousness must actually awaken to connection. You must actually know what connection is. And only and only if you start learning that and start living in that state, you will see the power of it. You will see the magic and the synchronicity it can produce. So this entire concept that I need to work very, very hard to become successful is true, but with an awakened state of connection, that hard work has a lot of magic and synchronicity to it, which means your intention can manifest much more easily because now you are connected to this power of universal intelligence that's present around you. You are connected to your family. Your family is blessing you. You are connected to your organization. Your organization is blessing you. So everywhere you are connected. So we have to learn to live in this state. The problem is we have not learned how to live in this state. We have only learned to manage fear and anger, but we have not learned freedom from fear and anger. So the day we can learn freedom from fear and anger, you will automatically live in a state of connection. And that's what we teach here. We teach here people how to actually become of that suffering or anxiety state and move to a beautiful state.
It's such a powerful concept. One of the things that I was thinking through just as a thought experiment when I was in India, which was what, June of this year, so June 2018, we had a very, very stressful period in 2016. We went into accredited education in here in Australia, and the government made some fundamental changes to the space, which kind of starved us of about $6 million in cash over a little while. But then when they changed the regulations, we needed to come out of that particular space, which meant we were 3 months away from a monthly loss of about $800,000 a month. And so we needed to restructure the organization and essentially rebuild the business model. We were laden with debt. It was a very, very, very stressful period. And I think prior to having this conversation with you and the team at O&O, I thought that the stress and the fear and the angst was a necessary fuel to get me through that period. And then in India, I asked myself, if I went through the same events of 2016 again, however, I did so without the fear, without the angst, would I have performed better or worse? And I thought, well, if I was sleeping well and if I was meditating and if I was clearer and if I felt more whole and if I felt less fearful, I'd be more creative and more intelligent and an even more effective leader. And we obviously did incredibly well to get through that period, and today we're in a position where we're stronger than we've ever been. But it was just interesting to reflect on, you know, some of the hardest parts of my life and my career, and thinking the fear and the angst doesn't actually help at all. If anything, it removes you and distances you from the problem and from your own creative capacities to deal with the solutions intelligently.
Yes, because I had a very interesting person. He is now one of the most successful persons who has invested in cryptocurrency. So he was here when he left Fortress, and he came here with a lot of pain and suffering. And the suffering was he had to leave his organization that he founded many, many years ago. But he had to make the decision because of one wrong decision that he had made during trading, which lost quite a lot of money for him. Wow. And for the fund. So he clearly he came here for 7 days, but ended up staying for 16 days. In his journey here, he clearly he was a very good seeker and a very good participant. He clearly saw that he was coming all these years from a very bad state, and that state was a state of fear, not wanting to look like a fool, wanting to always appear like a genius, or his decisions must always be right and should always make money. And this was one decision that did not make money. Probably there were many more in the past, but this one really led to the collapse. So he clearly saw that staying in that state of constantly worrying about that I should appear a genius is not connecting to anything, is not connecting to his family, is not connecting to his real intelligence, his creativity, or what he wants to do in life. And he really made a decision. He said, Krishnaji, I'm not going to anymore function from this place. I'm going to function from a place of connection. This is not taking me anywhere. Where is this taking me? So he had a very powerful awakening to the truth that this entire self-image has become his obsession, not to appear, always to appear a genius. So once he went back and his state changed, of course, he has now come back and he has made a lot of money and has become a billionaire again. But But I think that needs to happen. You can't live in fear of what people are going to think about you or what's going to happen to your survival or what's going to happen to your comforts. And if you see, most of the people who are creating wealth are in this space. And what is that experience of life if you're in that state where you're constantly in fear? It's equal to the guy who is making $2 a day. He's also in fear of what's going to happen to him tomorrow. And is he going to have the $2 to have his food, shelter, and clothing? So really, there's no difference in terms of an inner state that you are a wealthy person or not a wealthy person. And that's very important to me. What's your inner state? Whether you have things in life or whether you don't have things in life. Just because you have everything in life, a superior human being, an extraordinary human being. No, if your state is one that of pain and suffering, anxiety and anger and fear, you are definitely not a superior or extraordinary human being. Your achievements might be great, of course, but that's not totality of life. Your life is your internal experience.
That's one of the things I remember writing down in India, is our entire experience of life, our entire experience of self, our entire experience of relationships is our inner state at any given moment. You know, yes. The world's full of people who are living in the beautiful mansions feeling empty and, you know, driving the sports car feeling inferior and unfulfilled. It's, yes. You know, our inner state is completely our experience. Krishnaji, one of the things you mentioned before, you said, is we continue to live in that state until we experience an awakening. What is awakening?
Awakening needs to happen to your consciousness. You are looking at yourself in this physical body, but you are physical body. You are actually a person who is very deeply connected to this entire world and the universe. The transcendental and the mystical side of you, and that aspect of you needs to awaken. And if that aspect of you needs to awaken, you need to go through a powerful inner journey, and an inner journey of looking at the truth, an inner journey of connecting to a powerful experience that's beyond you, that clearly gives you that reality and the truth that you are just not this person, this physical body. And once you have that deep sense of connection, some have it with the divine, some have it with the universal intelligence that present in this universe, some call it powerful energies, some call it light, whatever you want to call it. At the end of the day, if you have your consciousness needs to understand that it's one with that, and that power out there is one with you. But for you to have the deep sense of connection, and for you to have the deep sense of awakening to connection, you must have a very powerful inner journey that's based on truth and that's based on mental mystical experiences, which of course, Jack, you have been here and you had that, and that's what we are doing here to people, to take the journey of truth. We are unfortunately, we have forgotten to take a journey of truth, and we are only taking a journey of management, constantly trying to manage. Management is not going to take us too far. It's only a journey of truth that's going to make us leap or transcend to the next level of becoming a limitless human being and living in the space of freedom and connection.
I'm glad you mentioned truth. You know, one of the things that was really interesting for me in the couple of weeks that I spent in India was it was all about becoming more aware and being able to see clearer, and whether that's seeing through the identities that we construct for ourselves or the judgments that we have of ourselves and others. It was all about how do you see reality and truth clearer? You know, one of my favorite things that you guys said was the path to awareness is truth. What yes. does that mean to you? The path to awareness is truth.
So if you look at the concept of awareness, awareness in many places has been taught as an end in itself. So you have if you have a mind that can bring more attention, if you can have a mind that brings more awareness, then will. But for me, awareness has to lead you somewhere. It's just a light, but that light is throwing its power onto something, and what it's showing you is showing you that you are in a bad state, you are in a state of fear or anger, and you need to start seeing the truth why you are in that state. So you need awareness for that. The more you become, your consciousness becomes aware of what's happening within it, and if you have the teachings that can help function itself during this process of awareness, then you'll find truth. So awareness is not independent for me. It's not a state. Awareness is only when it can actually make you free of your suffering and put you in a beautiful state.
Krishnaji,
it's like a light on your car shows you in the darkness to reach your destination. So,
that's a beautiful metaphor. One of the conversations that you and I had in India was around how founders approach their businesses. And you spoke about how when you set up a business and you have many, you get yourself involved for the first 6 months and play a part in setting up the strategy, but try and build a team such that the business is able to grow sustainably without you. And you spoke about some of the limitations that a founder can sometimes bring to an organization when they, you know, entrench themselves into the operations and into the team. Talk to us about that and how you manage to be a founder overseeing many businesses and why it's important the founder continue to play the role of visionary as opposed to being operationally involved.
Very good question. Yes. So It is very true that when I start my businesses, I'm very involved for the first 6 months, or max 9 months, in making sure that I find the right team and I'm very connected to the team and the team is connected to me and the team is totally connected to the vision, but not from a space of how much money we can make and who is our competitor and when can we beat the competition and stuff like that. When can we become number one, number two, these are not really parameters that we use to push us and to motivate ourselves. The most important thing we ask ourselves is, are we enjoying what we are starting? And of course, the questions is, some of the important questions are like, are we doing something unique? Hope there are not too many people in this field already. Hope we are not too late. But these are all just functional questions. If you take spirituality, for example, spirituality has existed for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. So Buddha came 2000 years ago. So, but I have just got into spirituality, say, in the last 30 years. So the reason we are in spirituality is not from the space of fear that, oh, spirituality has existed for so many years. Can we start it now and can we do it? We are in this field because, one, we love what we are doing. Two, it's coming from a space of truth, which is our learning and our understanding of life. It's not from books or it's not from hundreds of courses that I have been to know. It's all purely from my life and Preetaji's life that we are teaching people the way we have been living. The states we are experiencing is what you need to experience. So it's coming from that state of connection. So we are thoroughly enjoying what we are doing. So the most important thing for me is that we have to enjoy what we are doing. So be it any business that I get into, I really learn in those 9 months, in those 6 months, what it is, and I really enjoy the entire process of just not running the operations, but there's so many creative aspects of business. And for example, we are now starting a fintech business here in India. So Oatly Fintech is in its early stages in India. It's not too late. So that's giving us a functional strategic direction to make the decision to get into that business. But we are enjoying the process of that business because we have seen Indians struggling to get a small amount of loan that takes 30 days or 40 days now for them to go to a bank. And through our app now, they can get it in less than 4 hours. They don't need to go anywhere. They just need to sit at home and they need to click on a button and they get their loan. Now that gives tremendous amount of fulfillment because, one, you are giving this family the power of the small amount that they need during their medical expense or educational expense, whatever emergency they have. But more importantly, you're also improving the quality of their life and you are finding a lot of fulfillment and joy in that. So the entire team that I put up now is enjoying from that concept, the concept that we are creating a difference in someone's life in India. Not from the fact that we are the number one or number two a player in this place and there's nobody else who is catching up with us, we are 6 months ahead of someone, our revenues are clicking in. No, it's not from that fact. So it's more from a state of connection. connection that we are making a difference. And that's what I think as a visionary, I constantly keep working with my team, that what is the difference that we are creating to the people we are working with? At the end of the day, it's just people. You know, it's and then a business you are in, whatever you're doing, you are constantly working with people, whether it's social work, spiritual work, business, politics. It is people at the end of the day. So it is about bringing difference to their lives. So if we can connect to that vision as a business person, rather than constantly looking at budgets, numbers, and constantly comparing ourselves with competition and staying in the state of fear that, you know, we might lose or we might be destroyed, and constantly playing politics one against the other inside the organization too, I think then you're creating a very unhealthy organization. Because as a founder, you are in such a bad state, that state will reflect itself onto the organization. There is no way it won't reflect it. How much of a smile you might put up, and you might speak sweet words, but one day it will reflect itself because your consciousness is just not within you. It is beyond you. So it will impact the people that are working with you, and they will all be in a state of fear, anger, and they won't be satisfied with what they're doing. So I think the key is that your people are connected to the founder, and the key is that all of them work towards actually finding out what's the difference they're making to others. And then I think automatically numbers, everything will follow.
Yeah, it's really powerful. One of the words you mentioned a couple of times there was functional. You know, I think many people associate spirituality with inactivity, you know, or consciousness with inactivity. And one of the things I love about your message is it's not about inactivity. You do need to do the functional work in order to progress, but you can do so from a beautiful inner state and therefore create from a much more powerful place. The other thing, the functional element came into me in my experience in India, was particularly around judgment. You know, at one point we were talking about becoming less judgmental. And one of the things I said to the faculty was, well, I think I've learned to become judgmental. I've learned to become pessimistic. And so are you telling me to be naive? And the answer was, no, absolutely not. You want to exercise functional judgment. Is this a project we should do? Is this a business we should launch? Is this the right employee? We want to promote someone who's the best employee. You know, all of these are functional judgments. But what you guys are talking about when you're talking about judgment is the obsessive judgment that can become this incessant inner chatter, and always judging others and judging ourselves. And that's really not healthy. But functionally, in business, of course, we need to make functional judgments. Can you talk to that a little bit in terms of the distinction between, I suppose, the idealistic and the functional?
Yes, definitely. So before I get to that, I think you brought up a very good point of activity. You know, we are thinking that we are very active, and we are keeping ourselves physically very active. And the reason we are keeping ourselves physically very active is because within us, we are very inactive. We are stuck in the state of fear and anger, which makes us completely inactive within us. So if we start observing, we will see that we are actually not active within us. So spirituality is about the inner world, whereas success is about the external world. Spirituality is about, we should not have this concept that let me go and detox myself. You know, it's been months, I've been in a very bad place, let me go for a week, detox myself, come back, feel nice for 3 months and again go back. It's not that. It's about mastering this beautiful state, living in this beautiful state, which is total activity within you. And if that beautiful activity starts within you, actually the activity you're doing externally through your physical body will become very beautiful and very powerful, because you're coming from a very powerful state. Your fuel is not anger, but your fuel is now connection. It's peace, it's vision. So that is true activity. Right now we are having false activity, you know, because we are lost within ourselves. There's a lot of external activity that's going on, which is actually not necessary. So you can achieve a lot more, but less activity, because your consciousness has now taken over. Now coming to judgments, yes, we have to understand that there's functional judgment and there is a judgment that's obsessive in nature. Now, functional judgment, we definitely need to have what business we want to get into, who are the right employees to hire, what are the things that I should do to stay safe, not do mistakes. So these are all functional judgments. But if you look at business people, there is constantly this fear that what are others thinking about me? Now, I've come across many business people who are constantly judging themselves. Am I making the right decision? Is this the right decision I made? Am I hiring the right person? Am I moving in the right direction? Am I doing this right? Am I doing this right? Now, when that becomes very obsessive, where you're constantly judging so much about what you're doing is right or wrong, you actually lost it. It's no more functional at all. You will actually be so obsessed with this thought process that intelligence is gone, and you are consumed in this process of judging yourself whether what you're doing is right or not. That's the judgment we want you to become free of. If you can become free of that judgment, then you are actually focused and you are executing the vision you want to execute.
Krishnanji, that's interesting for even me to hear. So what you're saying is, as we're making life decisions, if we think about whether we're making the right or wrong decision, that can detach us from our intelligence. If we're not focusing on, are we making the right or wrong decision, what are we focusing on?
Well, there is definitely, beyond a point, it's very hard to find out what is right and what is wrong. You know, you can only find out what is right and what is wrong when you're 60 or 65 years old. When to put a stop to it? Are you going to say at the age of 20, 25, okay, I was very, very right in doing the education I did, the college I went to and the friends I created? Are you going to say at the age of 30, you know what, I should have studied, I should have gone to a different education system, I should have studied something else, must have had different strengths. So you never know what is right or wrong. When do you want to say what is right and what is wrong? So I think it's the flow. That is why the consciousness needs to awaken. You need to flow with life. And when you are in this beautiful awakened state, you have this deep sense of vision into the future. And you know that you have to flow with life. And there are going to be wrong and right decisions that you're going to make. But as long as you're connected to that vision and not your obsession about whether you are right or wrong, life will be very different. Because you might be right for 60 years, and what happens at the 61st year? Say, let's say you're in marriage for 40 years, and 41st year, your wife and you decide to divorce. So what's right or wrong? 40 years of marriage or that 1 second of making the decision to divorce? So if you divorce, then is that the entire 40 years was wrong? So there's nothing like what is right or wrong. It is, that's philosophy. So you have to have the deep sense of vision and move with life.
Yeah. One of the really pertinent things that you talk about, which I think is really common for people who are going on a journey of consciousness and exploring spirituality, you talk about spiritual becoming, which is when we start to go on this journey, it's, well, I'm now a spiritual person and so I don't argue. And I'm now a spiritual person, and so I don't get angry. And that belief in and of itself causes suffering. Talk to us about that a little bit. You know, I'm a spiritual person, and so I don't argue.
Jack, I think you have to understand that, unfortunately, spirituality has become very idealistic. We're not talking about you living in an ideal state. We're not talking about creating a human being who can never get angry, who can never live in fear, who can never become anxious. We are not concerned about that at all. We are believing the opposite, that as human beings, you will constantly feel fearful. You will be hit with anger. You will be hit with situations where you will feel anxious. The biggest question is, can we become free of this bad inner states? Can we find freedom from it? If we can learn to become free of those states, then automatically a powerful state emerges in you. It's not that you're going in search of a powerful state and trying to live in that always. We are not going in search of a powerful state. We are trying, we are learning to become free of a bad state. And in that pursuit, automatically a powerful state arises within you. So if we are going to make spirituality into ideology, then it's difficult and it's not possible. It's not possible to live without fear and anger. And fear and anger, it's not that you are a bad person. It is just a bad inner state. So you need to become free of the bad inner state. That's it. So we are not seeing people as bad people or good people. All that we are seeing is we want people to live in a very beautiful state.
Krishnaji, you spoke before about living in unison, I'm paraphrasing, but with the flow of life. And the other thing that I love that you talk about is that, you know, we call this a practice because it's a practice. You know, you literally practice it every day. For those listening that want to begin living in the flow of life, and after this I'd love to talk a little bit about O&O, but for those that want to live in a greater unison with the flow of life, what's some practical ways that you recommend they can start practicing that?
Jack, the most important thing is we have to understand, when I say flow of life, it is your vision. It is your flow of life. It is not, there's some flow that's happening and you need to become one with that flow. So, like, I am very clear that my flow of life is my family, is this work, is this vision that I'm living for. This is my flow of life. So in the same way, you are very clear about what your life is. That's the flow of life you have to become one with. Unfortunately, we do not have that clarity or that understanding because our consciousness is not awakened to connection. We are in a disconnected state, and therefore that flow is not happening. So it is your flow of life that needs to happen. Sorry, the second part of the question, Jack.
How can one begin to practice that, to live in flow with their life?
When it comes to flow of life, you are actually living it more than practicing it. The practices are given to you so that you can live in that state. So you don't practice the end. You just practice the path to live in the end. So the practices that we're teaching you is for you to live with that flow of life.
Yeah. Right. And so what are some practices that you might recommend those listening might be able to start?
I would recommend for people to start with Soul Sing, which is a beautiful meditation that Preetaji has designed. If you can download that link, and it's a 12 minutes powerful meditation where you are put in a very powerful state where you are connecting with the universal intelligence and magic starts happening in your life and your intentions will come true. So if you can start with that meditation, that will be great.
And for those listening, we'll link Soul Sync, which is a beautiful meditation, and my team have become fallen in love with Soul Sync. We'll link that below this episode, wherever you might be watching it. Krishnaji, for those that want to learn more about yours and Preetaji's work and O&O Academy, which I am clearly a huge fan of, what's a good next step for them to take other than Soul Sync to start exploring this world that you've created?
I think the next important step will be for you to attend a course in your country. So we definitely, Preetaji travels across the world, and we do these events called Being Limitless and Field of Abundance. Being Limitless is a two-day event that happens in your country, and Field of Abundance is a four-day event. So if that information can be passed on, and if people can come to those events and experience what me and Preetaji are offering and the Academy is offering, I think from there they can take the next step towards becoming more passionate seekers and people who want to live in a beautiful, powerful state and really create a different world, a wonderful world, a kind of more connected world.
Yes, thank you. And again, for those listening, we will link to those upcoming events around this episode, wherever you may be watching it or listening to it. Krishnaji, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us all the way from India. You're a human and a soul that I have an incredible amount of respect for. I have a lot of gratitude towards you personally, and it's been an absolute joy connecting you with my community.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thank you so much for making this happen. You know, when I saw you first and then I met you here, I connected with you instantly because you are different. You're this beautiful human being who wants to create a difference to others, and I love working with such people. So it's been a pleasure. It's been such a joy talking to you and connecting with, though we are thousands of miles away from each other, we are able to connect to each other because of our state. So thank you so much for making this happen and taking this to your beautiful community. I hope it'll help And I'm looking forward to seeing you soon here in India.
I'm back in February.
Yes.
So I'll be seeing you there. Thank you so much, Krishnaji.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day, Jack.
You too.
Namaste.
Ciao. Thanks for tuning into today's podcast. I'm Jack DeLosa. If you enjoyed listening, make sure you hit subscribe and you'll be the first in line to get every new episode sent directly to your phone. While you're at it, open Instagram and connect with me. My handle is simply at Jack DeLosa, DELOSA. This is where you'll find me every day sharing the secrets of scaling multi-million dollar businesses and giving you a behind the scenes look at what it really takes to build a life that you love. You can also find me on all the usual places, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. Just search Jack DeLosa. Thanks again for listening, and as always, dream out loud. That's a wrap. Yeah.